How do I sound now? Sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show.
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
Just either that now you guys are actually the 11th seed, so you're out of the playing game. What changes going forward?
Nothing, man. Nothing.
And why is that?
Because it doesn't.
And welcome back to Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. No playoffs here in D.C., of course, again, for the Wizards. No playoffs for our guest, Brad Turner. And
hold on, it ain't over.
But playoffs for the Warriors and Marcus Thompson. Well,
I think our guest is a little bit fine with no playoffs. I think he's going to enjoy.
Dude, I was – okay, so BT, Brad Turner from the L.A. Times.
Yes.
Have you made the most important question is, have you made your European reservations already?
MT, DA. Are you serious asking me that question? I'm just going to say that my flight leaves LA on August the 16th at 10:30 a.m.
There you go.
I connect in San Francisco. I leave there at 2:30 p.m. I arrive in Paris, France, on the 17th at 10:30 a.m.
Damn.
Not that I know my details. I'm out of the details of what's going on.
I thought you would be leaving April 17th.
Well, the thought has crossed my mind. But I'm going to stick it out here and stay around for a little while longer and go my normal time to see my friends when they are. When they're in town, they can take me around and show me some new restaurants.
Okay, so y'all don't know the BT travel experience. This man.
It's legendary. Yeah.
It's unbelievable, legendary. Man. How did that start? How did you just start deciding I'm going to go to Europe and that's what I'm going to do?
Man, I'm going to say the very first time was when I was in high school. My high school basketball team in Pasadena went to Europe. We went to Luxembourg, Paris, and of course, we got to Paris. A bunch of knuckleheads, we broke curfew because that's what we do. We got caught breaking curfew and the coach says, you guys are in trouble. And being a bunch of knuckleheads, okay, coach, send us home. So I've been this way my entire life, guys. Dude. But I went back in 1999 as an adult. I liked it a little bit. I went back in 2000 with our boy, Mark Spears.
Yes, sir.
And we stayed with Tariq Abdul-Wahab.
Sure, sure. Sure.
And then I learned to start loving Paris.
Yeah.
And loving the French culture. Then I met friends along the way because the Lakers was so damn good with Kobe and Shaq. They had issues, a lot of them. But people would come over from Paris and they would ask me, my friend, why is Shaquille talking to you during the NBA Finals? I goes, because I've covered the guy the whole damn year, but he only talks to you. D, I said, he ain't saying nothing. Believe me. It's game one of the NBA Finals. He ain't saying a doggone thing. That's printable. I can promise you. From that point on, I just cannot get enough.
All right, so anybody you meeting over there that you regularly see over there?
You know, there's one guy named Remy Rebershine who's with BN Sports. He does an NBA show for them.
Okay.
He just today sent me a video that we did when he was here about 3 weeks ago. He did something on the Clippers because they're real good friends with Nick Batum.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So the Clippers actually allowed them to go into their facility, to go into their training room. And so he interviewed me on a court when it was the Lakers and Clippers playing each other, and it was the Lakers home game.
Yeah.
And he wanted to know, how does this work? And I tried to explain to him that LA loves the Lakers because they are an institution. LA loves the Dodgers, which I told him, that's baseball, in case you don't know, because they are an institution that has won. LA loves the USC because they're also a winning institution. So he understood that part of it. And then the Clippers just sort of, they're trying to fit in. We got the Rams just won a Super Bowl here.
Yeah.
UCLA basketball has been pretty good. So has UCLA football. So the Clippers are trying to find their footing. And it's just very difficult for them to do. So trying to explain that to my friend in Paris, he understood. But having him around, and he puts me on TV, and I get over there, and someone will say, "Hey, my friend, I think I saw you on TV." I go, yeah, that was me. Speaking English and no French.
Man, so you've been around this train wreck this year, my man. So where do you start with it? What went worst most for this team this year?
I like that. Hey, Marcus, that's the Ebonics coming out right there.
You know what I'm saying? What be going worse than? Hey,
man, how do you start? Well, let's just be honest. It starts with AD and LeBron really believing they could play with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
That was a huge mistake on their part, if only because Russell is not known for his outside shooting. He's not very good at it. Mm-hmm. Russell is known to be ball dominant. He's best at that. Well, who's better at that than him? That's LeBron James. Who would you prefer to have the ball in their hands, Russell or LeBron James? Despite Russell having won all those records, it wasn't going to be a good fit. And then we saw it during the preseason when the Lakers went 0-6 and they didn't play a lot of the guys. You start going, the season begins and they go 0-2. They lose to Phoenix. They lose to Golden State. I've never seen anything like this with this team. We try to compare them to 2004. Mm. The Lakers had Karl Malone and Gary Payton, and Shaq. But that team made it to the NBA.
They made the finals, right? Yeah.
And they lost there. And they had a lot of SH...T going on.
Sure,
because it was going to be Phil's last year's coaching. Kobe was pissed off at Shaq. Shaq was pissed off at Kobe. Gary Payton and Karl Malone didn't know what the hell was going on. Why couldn't they play together? Would Shaq be around the next season? I mean, it was turmoil central with that team. But they still got to the finals. This team, they ain't even probably, I'm going to say probably, not making it into the play-in.
It's just crazy.
I mean, it is amazing to me that this team, but as one coach told me today.
It ain't over.
Oh, you know what? You're right, but it's over. We ain't going to put the R in there, but it's over.
Over.
Au revoir. Look at my fridge. Au revoir.
So just so y'all listeners know, when you enter this game as a sports writer, there are certain people who become your ally. So, man, BT was one of the very early allies who told me, here's where you go. Here's how you do it. But, man, I've watched you. I remember being in awe of watching how you talk to everybody. Like, it didn't change. It was just like, yo, you can talk to them like that? Like, what is happening? So my heart was full watching you talk to Russell Westbrook. It was a masterclass on how to hold your ground.
Exactly.
Without being disrespectful. And you really weren't trying to get the shine. You know, it wasn't look at me. And guess what happened? He respected it, right? Like, to me.
Yes.
So I was curious, is that just BT magic at play? Or is Russ like, you know, is something different about him? Is he just more, is he more amenable now in down times?
No. He's not that. Because what Russ has done to us here in L.A., he walks in postgame. We give him credit for always doing his media obligations. Mm-hmm. What we don't give him credit for is to walk in, to have his cell phone like this, and he's texting as he walks in.
Oh, yeah.
He sits down, and he's texting. So that is a total sign of disrespect. Mm-hmm. So we will wait for 30, 40 seconds for him to finish texting. When he does not, the question becomes, are you ready, Russ? And he goes, oh, I'm ready. And then the question comes up, whatever it is, and he answers it. He may look down and text some more. Eventually, he will stop to answer all of our questions, but that's the way he has treated us all season long. And then he reminds us later that fans will come up to him and say, "You're not the same guy I saw doing a post-game interview or talking to the media," which we always say, "Well, that's great." But we never see the Russell Westbrook that everyone else talks about, the guy in the community. All we see is the guy who wants to be combative with us. Mm-hmm. So in turn, I don't think any of us that have covered him this year have been combative. I don't think I was combative with him last week in Dallas. It was just a simple question of, "Russell, you guys have fallen out of the play-in game as the 11th seed. What needs to change?" And he says, "What? Nothing, bro. Nothing." "Well, why not?" His response was, "What do you think needs to change? Like, when?" And bar, I said, "Well, you asked, I answered, but it's not my position to say what needs to change. I'm asking you the question." So when he stood up, I thought he was leaving the post-game press conference. Mm-hmm. And I was going to pick up my phone to stop the recording. But the conversation continued. Now, yes, we both knew the cameras had been in there, but at that moment, you're not thinking you're going to continue a conversation. You're not thinking that the camera's going to follow you. You're just being in the moment.
Yeah.
And the conversation went on to where, I mean, it only lasted, D.A., Marcus, I think, maybe a minute.
Yeah, a minute max, yeah.
But it was a strong minute.
Just the idea that now you guys are actually the 11th seed, so you're out of the playing game. What changes going forward?
Nothing, man. Nothing.
And why is that?
Because it doesn't. What does it change? We still got games to play. Other teams still got games to play. We still got to play teams that's above us in the play-in. Don't really change much. What do you think should change?
Winning.
Okay, that's obvious. What do you think should change?
Winning. Winning games, playing hard. Mm-hmm. You ask the question, I gave you an answer.
That's fine. You got to answer the winning?
Aye.
You have to answer the winning?
I'm not out there playing. Maybe I think I'm... You give me the answer what you think should change.
Exactly.
So, well,
I don't have to answer.
You know,
exactly.
If so, you don't have it, you out there,
so
I can't have it either.
You ask me to have an answer. You don't have it either.
Well, but I don't play, Russell. If you, I want to get the information from you so that
I'm only one person, champ.
Right.
It's a team game. Right. So I don't have an answer.
Okay.
I may have it.
I don't have it.
So good.
But I'm asking the pros who know the game, play the game,
yeah.
What you think you can do to make it your point, their point, everybody's point.
Sure.
That's what I'm asking.
No, I really am. Okay. I respect that.
Okay.
You got that? You got that?
No.
We respect.
It's good.
You got that? All right, cool. Yeah, gotta make sure I record that.
I never felt in that moment when he and I were talking face to face, I never felt disrespected then. I never felt as if he was trying to intimidate me because that obviously that was not going to happen. And the one thing I did not want to do, I was not trying to embarrass a young man by no means. I just wanted him to answer the question for Laker fans, for his fans, for NBA fans, because as I said, he is a professional. I cannot answer a question that a professional would know more about this game than I happen to know.
And you're in that moment, you're giving him his respect because you're saying, "Of course you're the guy, you're the professional."
Yes.
I don't know. If I knew, I'd tell everybody. I'd tell you, but I don't know.
Exactly. No. So, but when he saw the cameras and he realized what was going on, and I could only assume a part of his mind is thinking, "This is not going to look good for me."
Mm-hmm.
So what he does, he comes over, y'all got that? And he shakes my hand and we hug, embrace as two black men can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was over.
Yeah.
He left and I sat down to do another interview with Malik Monk as the group in the room did. And Malik Monk says, "I got to be better. We all have to be better." Well, Russell could have said the same thing.
Yeah.
But they played 76 games now, whatever it is, and he has yet to say that I have to be better.
Mm.
We have to be better, but I think if we found some more accountability from him, then it would be a better situation for him. But it hasn't been that way all year.
So BT, Magic... Magic Johnson, who
Magic making up rules as you go.
Yo, so Magic is spilling tea, and basically he essentially said what you said. Like, it all began when they figured Russ would be the answer instead of going to get a Buddy Hield and a DeMar DeRozan situation, right? DeMar DeRozan wanted to come. So obviously there was a completely different route that they just chose the wrong route. So I'm wondering, how much do they know that? Like, the principal parties know, like, all right, we went the wrong way, so this one's a wrap. And I wonder, like, what do they even want to make the, like, if they just somehow won the last two, ended up in there, would that be like the worst thing in the world for them? They'd be like, hey, yo, what are we doing here?
Look, here we are, it's April 5, and it's 12:40, and we've just found out LeBron James is not playing tonight at Phoenix because of a sore ankle.
Yeah.
He didn't play against Denver because of that same sore ankle that he played on against the Pelicans. Do they want to make it to the playing game? I'm going to say yes, because now it saves some face, and then you can pretend you still have a chance to get into the playoffs, pretend that you can maybe win an NBA championship, when in fact you can pretend all those things you want to.
Yeah,
it's just not going to happen.
Right.
It's just noise. As they say about us, block out all the outside noise. Well, right now they're giving us a bunch of noise. But I do believe they want to get in. I mean, LeBron James would have missed the playoffs twice here in his 4 years with the Lakers. He came to win championships. He got a championship in the bubble, but he's also missed the playoffs 1 year for sure. And right now it's looking as if it's going to be another year where he does not get in. And that's a part of his legacy, maybe a small part of it, but he understands the Laker universe is different from the entire NBA. And as far as we're concerned in the NBA, LeBron James is one of the, let's just say, top five best players to ever lace them up.
Yeah.
Well, with Laker fans, they don't think it's the top five Laker.
Right.
Now, how does that sound?
Right.
Doesn't make sense at all.
Right.
And in their eyes, my friends tell me, nah, dude, he ain't top five for us. He ain't on that top five list. But in the NBA, the total part of the package, he is.
Yeah. So you mentioned Russell hasn't taken accountability. Has LeBron taken accountability this year? No, he's had a great year. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is he ain't making the playoffs. So something went wrong. Yeah. And would he ever say—
averaging 30.
Averaging 30.
Averaging 30.
He's not going to throw Russell under the bus and say we made a mistake bringing Russell in. We should have brought in Buddy Hield. I know he's not going to say that. But what responsibility does he take for the season at large not working?
I would say this. When he has talked to us, he has been honest and forthright to say that I could have been better. We could be better. So he has taken accountability because that's kind of who he is. Mm. But he also understands that him scoring 30 has done nothing for the team in the win column. When he and AD and Russ all played together, they were barely above 500, maybe one game above 500.
Yeah.
So it wasn't working. When they were all together, it ain't working. Right. When they ain't all together, I mean, it's just a bundle of not workingness. I'm making up words as we go along. I mean, it's just, man, it's just been bad to watch. It's to the point where Marcus, AD, I told them that I was going to Phoenix and Golden State for those two games to travel with the team. Booked my flight, booked the hotel. Then I said, I'm not going. That was after they lost to New Orleans. Then I told my coworker, Dan Wyker, you know what? If they beat Denver, I'm going to go. I'm not going to cancel my trip. Well, they lost. I was like, you know what? I ain't going. And then we were in the press room, DA, and I see the score that San Antonio was losing to Portland. I said, you know what? How about this? If Portland wins this game,
I'm going.
I kept thinking, you know what? I can go to Phoenix, then I can fly to San Francisco, And then, Marcus, I can go to Napa on an off day.
Yeah, I'm about to say, it's tough to give up that Bay trip.
Yeah, boy, it was tough. Hey, I love wine, but I gave it up. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't.
That's a major concession right there, Vito.
Yeah, hey, it is.
BT low-key the man out here. So
no question. Man, what?
BT right. Love the Bay, so he the man out here. So you giving up the Bay? That's something.
Man, I gave it up, man. Hey. And I was like, you know what? Nah, I'll just go buy some wine instead.
Damn.
From the store. Yeah.
That's disappointing, man. So look, yeah. There's all kinds of rumors about Vogel. And what? And
yes.
What do you think happens? What do you think? Did they move on? Or?
Well, here's a couple of things. I don't see how they can't move on with leaving. He has to be gone. They have to let him go because it's clear he's lost his voice. It's not strong enough right now with the players and the team.
Yeah.
To be fair to him, now when it will happen, I don't know.
Yeah.
The second part is because of my respect for him and what he's done. And because of where I think we should operate in our business, you know, I am not someone that will write, I even let the LA Times write about who the candidates may be.
Yeah.
Because it's not fair, in my opinion,
right,
to Frank. And it's not fair to all those names that are being tossed out there.
Right.
We know who they are. And yes, I've had conversations with several of them just to pick their brains with their people. But I don't like that part of, right. I mean, when it's over and say they do fire Frank, which we think will happen, then I don't mind starting speculating on names. But the names that we're speculating on that have been thrown out there, they're under contract still.
Right, right, right.
So how does that coach feel? How does their organization feel? So now today we're talking to Frank Vogel pregame, and that question may come up. Have you heard this, Frank? Because it came up before.
Yeah.
And it puts him in a situation where he's trying to give them the best chance to win tonight and to have a chance to get into the playing game. But it's just not going to stop. And I understand how this profession is, but it's just a way that I prefer not to go.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
Hey, and I was about to get all messy too, BT, and ask you who is coming. But I have a thought.
Yeah.
But I wanted to flip to the other side. Because, you know, you are well-versed in both teams. You know, there is an L.A. team that's going to be in the play-in game.
Yes. Yes.
And there is an L.A. team that if they get in, it just look a little different. I don't think people are lining up to play them. How much does Paul George coming back just change the perspective of the Clippers?
Well, I'll say this. Because I know Ty Lue so well, someone who I spoke to, by the way, this morning, just to check in with him to see how he was doing.
I mean, and I was going to ask you if they should just go get Ty Lue.
You know what I'm saying?
Since you're not going to drop other names, I'm going to leave it alone. But that's what I was going to say, you know. Right. Hey, BT, should they check in on Ty Lue?
Because, you know,
but you are throwing names out there, so we're going to leave it alone.
He can keep his parking spot at the arena.
Not only that, Ty Lue playing for the Lakers won 2 rings. Brian Shaw is Ty Lue's coach with the Clippers. He played for the Lakers and was an assistant coach for the Lakers. Larry Drew is on Ty's staff with the Clippers. He played for the Lakers and was also a coach with the Lakers.
Correct.
How about that symmetry, right?
Yep.
But let me end that, Marcus.
Yeah, we're not talking about that.
Ain't going nowhere. And on top of that, when I had my encounter with Russell Westbrook, Ty Lue and I spoke that Tuesday night because I said, man, Paul George comes back, you guys get down by 2,000 points again, and you come back and win a game. Man, what's going on with you, Ty Lue? He goes, it's good to have Paul back. He goes, but hold on 1 second. What's up with you and Russ? I was like, man, what do you mean? He goes, what's up with you and Russ, man? I said, didn't you just have a game tonight? What's up with you and Russ? Oh, we had a little, you know. He goes, don't worry about it, dude. I got your back, dog. Ty Lue, my dude, thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course.
I mean, I feel as if Ty Lue is one of the top 3 best coaches in the NBA today.
He does. He does a great
job. What he's done with that team.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
The fact that they're in the playoffs is ridiculous with all the injuries they've had this year.
It is. And so now they have Paul back. They may get Norman Powell back. We're not so sure about Kawhi.
Yeah.
But, you know, their thing is they've had some success against Minnesota. The thing for the Clippers, in many ways, they were rather, this sounds silly. Well, not silly. It sounds, you know, like, well, I guess crazy. The Clippers almost would rather play the Phoenix Suns in the first round, the best team in the league, rather than face the Memphis Grizzlies. Because Memphis has given them problems.
Yeah,
young,
yeah,
athletic.
Yeah, right.
They don't care. They talk right. trash.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got this kid named Ja Morant. Pretty damn good. You don't get it. But the Clippers have had success against Phoenix this season. And also last year when they lost them in the playoffs, when the lob pass that became the lob heard yeah. around the NBA world.
Yeah.
That makes them lose that game there in Phoenix. So they feel comfortable playing against them. But playing against the Grizzlies is something that they've had to deal with. And the Grizzlies, man, them young dudes,
yeah,
they talk that talk.
Now, is it because when they can play small with Phoenix?
Yes.
When Phoenix goes small.
Yes. I mean, DeAndre Ayton does give them some problems.
Yeah.
Zubac has issues trying to defend him because he's so mobile.
Right.
But when they play small, the Clippers think they're better at playing small than anyone in the league. They think they can switch up. They can throw Nick Batum out there. Marcus Morris out there. They can throw now Paul
Especially
George
with
out
PG.
There.
PG, yeah.
Oh, man, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I feel like Memphis... In a playoff setting, don't nobody want to play Memphis, first off. There's nobody saying, give us the Grizzlies, right? Because even if you think you can beat them, you ain't saying that because you know if you lose, they're going to take the social and start talking crazy, right? It's going down. But I do feel like the Clippers are just a tough matchup. And I wonder if they're going into that series basically with nothing to lose. Right. They should not be there. And I like Reggie Jackson with nothing to lose. I like Terrence Mann with nothing to lose. I like Paul George with nothing to lose. They're a little bit scary, but I do know what you're saying. The Warriors feel, or they should feel the same way, right? Like, you know, yes, Phoenix is the best team in the league, but I like that matchup better than the 13 young, hungry athletes Memphis is throwing at you, right? So, but man, I feel like if anybody could give problems to them, it's the Clippers and it's Minnesota. Because they can match it with them a little bit.
Well, I'll say this. I've known Talu since he was a rookie in the NBA. And if they play Memphis, they ain't scared.
Yeah.
His team will not be afraid of that smoke, as they like to talk about there in Memphis. They will not back down. They will go at them. They'll be ready for them. And as Talu always says, give me some time to prepare for a team and a seven-game series, my guys will be ready.
Yeah.
So it ain't like Memphis going to come in there and it's going to be a 4-0 sweep. It ain't going to be no 4-4-4, D.A. Ain't going to be none of that.
So
they might have their hands full.
We saw the tape of Kawhi on, you know, just kind of walking around the practice court the other day. So, I mean, I'm guessing if there was any chance he would play, it wouldn't be to like conference finals, probably, right? I mean, it would be another month, probably, I would think, right? If
that seems to be the understanding. What I find interesting, DA, it was when he was injured last year in the series against
Utah, right?
Was it Utah,
Yeah.
And they kept saying that more or less kind of pushing it back.
Yeah,
they kept pushing it back till it got to a point where he couldn't play, and he does not have the surgery until a month or so later.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So you start thinking hindsight is 20/20. If he had that surgery immediately, then perhaps he's ready to play now.
That's right. Weren't they playing it real coy, like indefinitely?
No. So I wonder how. First, how Kawhi feels about that, about him taking the approach he did. I wonder how the teams actually feel about waiting and having him wait and agreeing with him that it's all right, you can wait until you feel comfortable, until you feel ready to do this. So now, if it looks like he will have been out a full year.
Yeah.
And no matter what, it still takes, as great as he is, and he is a great top 75 player.
Right.
it still takes some time to get your body back and acclimated to playing NBA basketball. Marcus, you're seeing that with Klay. Now, obviously, Klay's been out for 2 years. Well, what a year.
Two seasons, right? Yeah.
I mean, so that's even more, but it just takes time. And to figure out how your body operates, does it move the same? You're a year older than you were the previous year. You know, so Kawhi has some, I would say he has to make it up to do for his teammates and for the Clipper Nation. But damn, he's good. They get him back. Woo!
They're right back in it.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, no. They
that year older too is that year older is 30. That ain't like 23 to 24.
Right. Exactly.
That 30 is a different number in the NBA. Boy, you started that 30.
Right. Man, you been telling. Hey, you talking about load management? Can I get a week off?
You know what I'm saying?
One game off. Stop it.
So BT, you have literally seen it all with the Lakers. I mean, all. What do they do now? Like, they don't have a bunch of picks. They got the oldest team in league history.
They got no picks. Till 2027, and they're going to have to trade that one.
Yeah. What? And then they got this albatross of a contract of Westbrook. Yes. What can they do now?
Yeah, by the time they get a pick, I've been living in Paris full time.
You know what I'm saying?
And, I would have learned to speak French fluently.
My boy going to be in a villa.
Right. You know what I'm saying? You tell your wives, let's go visit the B team. Come on over. Come visit me. Man, where do they go from here? I will say this. The more people I talk to, the more I keep hearing that there's a path to that happening. Now, it could be an ugly path going forward for 2 or 3 years to come.
Yeah.
But the possibilities are there. As you guys both know, there are some GMs out there and coaches.
I didn't hear what you said. I think you cut off. What you said, the more people you talk to, then you cut off. What'd you say?
The more people I talk to, they believe that there's a path to trading Russell if that's what the Lakers decide to do.
It may
not be pretty, but I think it would be a better look for them than keeping Russell here. I'm not sure he wants to stay here. He wants to stay here because his family is here.
Yeah.
But he's been getting booed by.
Yeah, no, it's been bad. Yeah.
No, and only David, you love this one. The only other player I saw and heard get booed, Kwame Brown.
Oh Lord.
Oh man.
Man.
And we felt sorry for Kwame Brown.
Sure.
I can't say it's the same with Russell.
The only trade that makes sense is for Wall, right? I mean, not the only thing that sort of makes sense.
It does, but the talks I'm hearing, it wouldn't be Wall. I mean, look, he hasn't played in 2 years.
Yeah, right.
He also makes $47 million.
It's the same contract. It's the exact same contract.
And he's Russell Westbrook.
True.
He's up and down the court, dribbles really fast, plays maybe a little bit better defense, can't shoot. If Marcus and John Wall played a game of horse, my money's on Marcus Thompson.
There you go.
All day. Chill. Are you watching these Instagram highlights, baby?
What?
John Wall jumper look nice.
Okay. I'm going to give me an account, too.
You know what I'm saying?
So I'm going to give me an account, too.
I think John could actually work a little better, but it's still not a good fit. I hear you, Mark.
It's not a good fit.
BT, I definitely hear you on that.
I mean, if it calls for giving up that pick, then I say something that they shouldn't do, they didn't do at the trade deadline, and I don't see that changing for the Lakers for John Wall.
All right, hear me out.
Unless he gets a buyout.
Do they trade AD?
I was just about to ask you that. Go ahead.
That's a very good question, guys, and I've been asked that question several times, and I say no. Having gotten to know AD these last couple of years, I have seen flashes of excellence, of brilliance, just not enough of it. I go back to the year they won the championship and AD hit the game-winning shot against Denver.
Denver, yeah.
I go back to last year when they went to playoffs, the Lakers lost game one at Phoenix. AD went to his room by himself and he sulked. He knew he had to be better. He came back in game two and he dominated.
Right.
He was just unreal force. Game two, he was really good. If you recall, The Lakers had a 2-1 lead in that series, and he got hurt again. Mm-hmm. That's the AD I want to see for 82 games. That's the AD we have. You're right. We have not seen 82 games.
Right.
Can't do it.
I'm not saying AD should be like Giannis, who plays as if I don't want to go back to Greece ever again unless I fly on my private jet. But I want to see AD's play like Giannis because I want to go to Greece because it's a vacation.
He said, I don't want to go see Calipari ever again.
Ever again. Right. You know? But you're right. We haven't seen that Anthony Davis, enough of him. So I think it's there somewhere because I've seen it a few times. First off, he's got to stay healthy. I mean, number one, he mentioned to my coworker on Sunday that people have talked about his health, how he doesn't stay on the court, about his trainer. I mean, something has to change for him, I think, to be available to his team, mm-hmm. available to his teammates,
yeah.
to the organization. Something's got to change with what he does in the summertime.
He does. He understands when people say he's injury prone. It's not that they're saying the injuries aren't legit, but you right. always getting injured, dude. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, all the time. You guys bought at Magic Johnson. Magic and I talk 2 or 3 times a week about the Lakers.
Yeah.
How about this, DA? I get phone calls from my boy, Ron Harper. Oh. Man, BT. I mean, Harper. I'm getting all the old timers calling because, man, what's going on with that team?
Yeah.
Sasa Vujicic. I saw him.
Oh, Lord, the machine's calling you. The machine's calling you.
Wow.
And of course, Robert Horry. They're
of course.
James Worthy. To get the calls from those guys is always interesting to me because they won titles here.
Sure.
And they cannot believe this train wreck that we're now seeing.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I worry about James Worthy's health sometimes. I feel like he be having me worried. They're like, come on, James. Hang in there, buddy. Hang in there.
Hey, Marcus, let me tell you this about James, though. After it's over, he'll go smoke him a nice cigar. He'll be good.
He'll be good. Boy, he'll be looking like he going through it.
Man. And then, DA, he'll go play golf with Samuel L. Jackson.
Of course.
He all right.
He's all right.
You know, he all right.
All right. Hey, let me ask you this. What do they think of this HBO show about Showtime?
Yeah.
What they saying?
Anybody said, enough. I haven't seen it yet.
You have? Oh, really? Okay.
I haven't seen one episode early on. It comes on Sundays, I know.
Yeah.
And I tried to watch it the other night, but it was at episode 4.
Yeah.
I want to see the very beginning.
You want to start? Yeah, yeah.
But I do know that the LA Times emailed the Lakers to try to get Jeannie Buss to talk, and that answer was, we're not commenting on the show.
Right.
So they are not happy with it, but they won't say anything about it publicly. I happened to run into our guy, the great Jerry West,
yes, on Sunday
as I was leaving the arena, and in that Jerry West voice, let me ask you a question.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Yes, Jerry. So this show winning time. I said, Hey, you know, say I throw stuff around and I'm making all these comments and I'm making me like I'm crazy. That's a bunch of BS. Okay, gotta go. I mean, what do you say? You just Jerry. All right, Jerry. I'll talk to you later, Jerry.
You know what's crazy is like I know Jerry, right? And everybody who knows Jerry are like, yeah, that's not him.
That's not him.
When you watch it, you still forget that. When you watch it, you're like,
well, that's the thing. It's like I've seen.
Like, hey, Jerry was wilding out here. That's what I'm thinking.
Four. I mean, there's been four episodes. I think I've seen two. I haven't seen the other two. And it's like the people they got, like the guy that's playing Magic, he kind of captures Magic a little bit. It's not bad, but it's not what actually happened. You know what I mean? So it's like,
right.
These are people that were calling Magic Johnson and Jerry West, but all the things we say they did, they didn't actually do, you know? So,
right.
So that's where it's like, if you show that as history, a lot of people think that's history and it's not. And that's the problem I have with it. You know, is it entertaining? Yeah, it's pretty entertaining. Look,
I hear that all the time. They go, man, boy, Mickey boy, Jerry look a little
They put Jerry out there, man. You know, and Jerry, and I don't like doing that because Jerry's been upfront about his own issues, man. He hasn't run away from them. You know what I mean? Like, so like it just makes him look cartoonish to me. And he's not a cartoon. He's not.
Look, Jerry has lived a tough life.
Yeah.
And it has been difficult for him to even get by. Jerry was so successful at his height that, especially with the Lakers, he would have GMs from other sports calling him, from the NFL, from baseball, to ask what he did, to give them a blueprint, because he was that guy. He took a franchise that had success, but he made them into this iconic top-notch franchise, one of the tops in the world, really. People, I would call Jerry sometime and talk to him with the Lakers. He would say, oh, the Dodgers are going to make this trade. I'm like, what? They're going to make a trade? You're a basketball guy. Well, I just got a phone call just so you know. I call my coworkers. Hey, y'all might want to check out this Dodger trade coming up. How you know? Because I got juice.
Right?
I got a little juice. The juice is Jerry West.
The part that I think is difficult to watch is like, you know, Jerry was here, obviously, but I just think where they failed was like people love Jerry. Yeah. And that part doesn't come across, right? Yes. Like people love Jerry. Like not just like the people who worked with him, but like, The people who work around them love Jerry. You know what I'm saying? Like people love Jerry. Right. So to me, they probably could have like been if they were more authentic to that component and not make him 1,000% nutso.
Right.
But like people love Jerry, man. That's one thing you know about Jerry. Like people love that dude. They like the way he talk. They love even when Jerry do go off on you. It's charming, right? Like
you're not even mad when he yells at you.
Yeah, it's like man, I'm just gonna yell at Jerry West. I love it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have you heard either one of you? How could you like that bullshit?
Of course.
Heard that.
But he's always and like hella nice when it's over, right?
Yeah.
Tillery's got the greatest Jerry story ever.
All right. Okay. Give me a call back. All right. Thank you, Jerry. I'll call you back.
Call anytime.
Call anytime, yes.
Let me know if you need me. Hope you're doing well, right?
Doing well. Hide your family.
Right. Yeah. And he means it. You know what I'm saying?
He does mean it.
That's the problem I have with it. But it is entertaining. I grant you that. It's entertaining.
Hey, man, all I can say is it's Hollywood.
It is Hollywood. Right. Oh, by the way, so has the slap calmed down out there? Are they still talking about that out there?
No, it has not calmed down one iota. Because today, the LA Times had a story talking to Chris Rock's brother. Oh, and I forget which one it is. And he's not happy. He said, as far as he understood, that Will had not called Chris to apologize over the phone or in person.
Right.
And that they thought that Will crying when he got the award was disingenuous.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, no, it's still being discussed. I mean, Will stepped down from the academies, but what does that really mean?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Did he step down?
Was he not allowed to make movies anymore? What does that mean?
Movies in the works, that's all.
No, all I know is if I had been slapped by Will Smith, you guys would not be talking to me right now because I'd have a big neck brace on. I'd have a black eye, whiplash. I'd be so damn rich right now.
He turned into Ezell, huh? My, you know what?
I'd still be crying. Oh my God.
Oh, I'll never be the same.
Never be the same ever again.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man.
All right, BT, my man. Always a pleasure, my brother.
Man, you two dudes,
best
man.
Best in the business, man.
Hey, let me tell you what. You two dudes, boy. Specials. Special brothers right here.
No, I appreciate it, man. And look, wherever you wind up in the playoffs, man, I'm sorry. You might be home with the Clippers. You might have a little home time.
Well, look, I got to. If I don't, then my man Ty Lue will spill me.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Ty Lue, I'm coming to your game, man. I'll be there. Don't smack me around, Ty Lue.
Will
please, though. Yes, he will.
Nah. Oh, man. Brad Turner, the best, man. Thank you for joining us, my brother. You know, and
my pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you all for listening. Leave that 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get this fine, fine podcast. Marcus, if them dudes leave less than 5 stars, what they need to do?
Need to keep it to themselves, you haters. We're going to put some baby powder on our hands and go around slapping people.
You're going to call Jerry West and call your house.
That's right. Hey,
let me tell you something about your 3-star review.
Hey,
the 11th seed. So you're out of the playing game. What changes going forward?
Nothing.
And why is that?
Because it doesn't. What's the change? We still got games to play. Other teams still got games to play. We still got to play teams that's above us in the play-in. Don't really change much.